The Talk of Mid-Maryland, 930 WFMD.
This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows with your host, Bob Dacey.
Hello, I'm Bob Dacey, and welcome to WFMD's Weekend Free Talk Express, where we revisit some of the best talk shows we have on the air for the past week. So let's sit back, relax, and listen to what we have in store for you on this week's show.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express, WFMD's weekly news magazine. And we're going to be taking a look back at some strange things and some newsworthy things as well. So just hang with us here. We got some good stuff for you to listen to over the next half hour. Would you believe that people are suing a company over hot sauce? You're not going to believe this, but Texas Pete is being sued by a customer who claims it's not being made in Texas, and so he wants to sue the company. Well, listen to this little explanation here. You're just not going to believe what lawyers will pick up these days. We also have Tim and Frank talking about what firemen are supposed to get. Now, a couple years ago, we had a vote that said there had to be binding arbitration, and now Jan Gardner has decided that she wants the council to have final say on what gets introduced as far as salaries. I don't think anybody thinks truly that the firemen are going to go poor, but it's just a way of having a little bit of power for Jan as she goes out of office. Well, what do the big guns in Western Maryland do? Well, Mayor O'Connor paid a visit to the Morning News Express and was talking about who gets invited when the president gets invited to Hagerstown. And one of the things he did point out is how well all the different organizations in Frederick, like the Chamber of Commerce and such, all work well together, which is one reason why Frederick is such a booming economy. We're going to start off with what was the big news of this past week, and that is with the Pennsylvania debate between Dr. Oz and John Fetterman. Both of them are running for state senate, and, you know, there were just some things that said that Tim and Frank might have disagreed with, and let's listen to their little bit of discussion on whether somebody is fit to be a senator or not. So without further ado, let's get started on this week's edition of Weekend Free Talk Express.
The Pennsylvania Senate debate from last night, and not only because in our broadcast area, you know, our listeners from Hanover to Gettysburg to Fairfield to
Greencastle,
Waynesboro, et cetera, and South Central and Southwestern Pennsylvania.
Monongahela.
Not only because it's here in the four states, but because this Senate race is, if not the, one of the most important races to determine if it's going to teeter, those who say back and forth between the possibility of the Democrats or the Republicans having the majority in the Senate, that a lot more than people, a lot of people outside of Pennsylvania are paying attention to. So
and
we're talking about
money.
This debate from last night.
Yeah, and spending lots of money.
And I have many things to say about what you had to say, Tim.
Well, please, I want you to, again, I did it without prejudice to the man's health.
You did pretty much, but mm-hmm. I would say that you, as many other people, mm-hmm. would make out of the debate between these two mm-hmm. and the future of our Congress, etc., put mostly the talk and the issue about Fetterman's recovery from a stroke. To me, I wouldn't want somebody totally disabled
you mean
to
like
represent me in the U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting that from Fetterman. His doctor, unless you don't believe, you know, in what people say, you suspect everything, mm-hmm. that the earth is
like
round, etc.
Like you did with Trump's
That's a whole other thing if you want to go there.
Oh, sure.
His doctor said that he is fit to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's recovering from a stroke. The only accommodation he really needs is in and I think there are many who've had stroke victims around them who knows how it works. I know my folks went through it.
Sure.
And it is a recovery process, and they say he seems to be making good recovery, and he's just having a problem with audio processing, so they have an accommodation with closed captioning. and that it's nothing that unusual, and that he can be easily accommodated if he still needs that in his early part of his Senate term if he gets elected. So anyway, putting all that aside, I'd be glad to talk about issues about Dr. Oz that have nothing to do with the issues, if you want, since you brought that up,
I
Tim.
I like that. Yeah,
Dr. Oz is a guy who came from a TV show. I don't think he can relate to the average Pennsylvanian.
First of all, let's put it back. Who is Dr. Oz, Frank? Why do we call him Dr. Oz?
Because he had a TV show.
No. We don't call him Dr. Oz because he had a TV show.
That had to do with medical treatments.
No, that's not why we call him Dr. Oz. He is a well-respected, renowned...
Is he?
...medical doctor. Yes, he is.
He promoted on his show fad treatments?
Oh, you mean like...
Ineffective products?
You mean like... drinking vinegar before you go into
He's
bed.
He's well known to be a snake oil salesman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He appeared before a Senate committee in 2014.
And?
Where senators gave him holy hell over his promotion of these miracle diet pills.
And?
The medical community agreed they do not work.
And?
I mean, that's pretty much his medical background.
No, Frank, that's not his medical background. No, absolutely not. You're saying that because you want to downplay the well-educated physician who is, you know, when I went to medical school, Frank, it's not easy. So you've got a whack biscuit Fetterman in his best of health running against a doctor. Okay, I'll give you that.
No, you have, is this one of Fetterman's people said, but it's true.
What's Fetterman?
You had, huh?
Introduce Fetterman.
You said it. He is a former mayor. Of a town near Pittsburgh.
2,000 people, Frank.
He is a lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania.
Right.
He's a politician.
What did he do? No, before he got all those free Facebook places and a place to park your car, what did he do? What was his industry? Was he a coal miner? Was a physician? Was he a plumber?
You tell me, Tim.
He didn't have a job, Frank.
Know about his job.
No, he pretty much grew up in the basement of his home and was cared for by a trust account most of his life.
See, here again, you wanted to dwell on the personality.
Well, you just did the same thing.
Because you did, I had to react to...
You just did that with us. I didn't
If you don't want to talk about what their issues are...
I do, Frank, but you brought up the nonsense. I didn't bring it up. First thing you started, that he's a TV... he's a snake oil salesman.
And then you said, watching it, you could tell how hard a time he's having, how
difficult...
How bad shape he...
Absolutely. I'm reading from the Huffington Post, Frank.
I don't care.
A right-wing newspaper.
No, I don't care. It's not.
I know it's not a newspaper.
I don't care.
Did you see anything?
Fetterman is 5 months out of a stroke. Oz... generally has spent his life the last couple decades in a TV studio.
Beautiful. So?
So, obviously, he's got the advantage in a debate.
No, Frank. Dr. Oz could have been the first day on the job, and he would have done better than Fetterman, because Fetterman is damaged right now. We know that. I'm not making light of that. But don't try to keep bringing this Fetterman as, he is the greatest. This is a man that should be in the Senate. No, I don't think he should be in the Senate. I think he should be, sit back and be on an island somewhere where he can talk to himself. I do not think that he is anything he is not the person I want in the United States Senate, period. And I take that because of his life, what he has done, what he's tried to do, and the overly progressive nonsense that he spews.
Okay, those are you mentioned two different things.
Yes.
I think that's primary for you. The personality has a lot to do with who you vote for.
No. It's what their policies are.
That's what I care about.
That's why I could never. Yeah, I could never vote for
Doctor. Had a childhood with a family and a home. I don't care.
No, I know that. I just did that.
Spending out in the streets.
Just said that when you picked on Dr. Oz, as though he was some kind of whack biscuit. Yeah. Why do you think he was on television, Frank? Why do you think people loved him? I mean, you don't stay on television, Frank, for a decade or two decades. You said without doing something correct. So, anyhow.
Oh boy, I could definitely argue that.
Well, get ready, because it's time to take a break.
BTL, get you out of hell, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Pray on the phone. What say you, Rich?
How are you guys?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I think the Fetterman thing, I'm not up wild on his politics, but and he was there under Wolf, as they had Dr. Rachel Levine in there and everything.
Right.
So I certainly don't believe with him then. But, yeah, I don't think he's mentally competent to hold the position either. Just facultatively, you want somebody who's smart and with it, can address issues, talk on his feet. And this guy is none of the above. The other thing, though, I think he's just basically damaged goods that they're trying to keep in there to fill the hole with a D. And then he'll bow out and they'll appoint somebody else, like Bud Shyster got his son in there to take his place or whatever, or Fetterman's wife or something along those lines,
Absolutely.
Just to hold the place for the Democrats.
I think you have a lot of thought behind what you said, and it's been said, and I can't argue with you. Because,
well, Rich, are you a fan of Dr. Oz?
I agree. Some of the stuff he was pushing was whack. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the dude's got to be smart. He's a cardiologist.
Absolutely.
I went to med school, too, for a while and got out. I didn't go to as level as he did. But, yeah, I mean, those guys are, like, scary smart to get through that stuff.
Absolutely.
And then it takes a lot of dedication. I mean, people don't understand the mental dedication of being in school for that long. It's like most people don't consider that fun. You know, it's like, right, I'm pushing really hard to do this, staying dedicated, you know, deferring my life, so I'm going to get the reward in the end type of thing. You know, but to the average person cannot go through med school. They don't have the mental fortitude, whatever.
Absolutely.
And the long-term dedication, focusing on that goal to reach that thing and, you know, get certified, pass your test, you know, get licensed, all that kind of stuff. It's not something for dummies or people with no willpower. So.
Correct. Or perseverance or work ethics. He has all of the above, and Fetterman does it, in my opinion. But, what can I say? Oh, these are the best candidates. These are what we have to work with, and, you know, we go from there. I don't think that John Fetterman helped his cause last night. Not at all. I don't know that many people watch debates anymore that think they haven't chosen who their favorite's going to be, who their pick's going to be. And yet, if you were last night, I don't know that a whole bunch of mindsets were changed with John Fetterman to support him. That's what I think, in my humble opinion.
Dr. Oz changed a lot of minds, you think?
I think that people like him are going to vote for him. People don't like him won't. That's
right.
It's pretty much that.
But it is very close, and there are people who haven't made up their mind yet.
I hope.
Okay, to the issues.
Yes.
I'd say the two main things they debated are two of the main topics when it comes to national office like U.S. Senate, mm-hmm, which is the economy and abortion. And they had their definite differences of opinions there.
Well, I don't know that they were that far apart, other than John Fetterman says abortion at any time and Dr. Oz doesn't. That's it. He says Dr. Oz is not ultra-conservative on this, in that he doesn't believe that you shouldn't have an abortion if, under certain circumstances. Fetterman doesn't share those views. Go ahead, Frank.
Fetterman said, if you believe the choice of your reproductive freedom belongs with Dr. Oz, then you have a choice. But if you believe the choice belongs with you and your doctor, that's what I fight for.
Yeah.
And Dr. Oz did kind of go back and forth on not being, hardcore on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
But there is difference. He would be he could likely make it the Republican majority in the Senate, and then you have, you know, the Republicans with the Senate and the House in that issue, and you have Senator Lindsey Graham who wants to change it from a state issue to a national ban.
And
so,
you have the Democrats want to take it from a state issue to a national law.
Well, what women have had for 50 years, yeah, not taken away.
Well, it wasn't. It should never been it never should have been a federal issue. But the Democrats want to take it back to a federal issue, which means it could change every week, but not every week. Nobody, you know, Fetterman bothers me. I mean, you know, his past again, I think it's coming back to haunt him. Let's go to Rodney. Rodney, talk to me from New Windsor, Maryland.
How are you all today, both of you?
I'm doing well, Frank.
I'm only calling for one reason, Frank. I don't like to aid the enemy, but I'll tell you this, just my personal opinion, as long as the Democrats still try to act like Biden and now Fetterman, now that I heard part of that debate, that they're normal people, you're not helping yourselves, because you have to be an idiot not to realize that these guys, and I feel sad for both of them, have mental issues due to age on one of them and due to a stroke on another. And just keep, hey, all the Democrats out there, keep acting like these guys are on top of everything. I want you to keep doing it, because pretty much any adult out there and most of the young people that can vote can tell there's issues here. Just keep the best way you can keep your side going is acting like these guys are 100%, because if they're 100%, your party's in trouble, because there's a whole bunch of people that are really in trouble in your party. I mean, I heard part of the, what do they call that, the women that come on the radio trying to take up for him, the idiots.
The View? The View.
The View, that's it, The View. They ought to call it The Stupid View. I mean, the people on there. I would, Frank, I hate to say this, but I bet you if you added all their IQs up, you'd have a hard time coming.
President Joe Biden was in Hagerstown, Mayor O'Connor. Did you travel over the mountain to go see the president? And did you get a chance to meet him or anything?
I did not. I heard the day before that he was going to be there, but no, I wasn't. I wasn't invited to come up to Hagerstown. These things are pretty controlled events, and I didn't. While I have a pretty good relationship with the mayor of Hagerstown, Emily Keller, I didn't think inviting myself or trying to crash their party was appropriate.
Yeah, it's an interesting event. If it were the other way around, would you invite your fellow mayors, or is that totally a controlled issue? Where
I think it all comes down to what direction you get from the organizers. Mm-hmm. Who do they want there? When you're playing in that sandbox, you're playing by their rules.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then you better not kick sand in anybody's face, because you know what can happen there. All right. I just wondered. I didn't know. And you mentioned that you were pretty decent relationship with the mayor, Emily Keller, over there. How do you forge those relationships? Are those by, you know, council meetings, or is it just you get on the phone and you guys have lunch together, or what?
Maryland has a statewide organization, the Maryland Municipal League, that is the consortium of elected officials from all across the state. So Emily and I both serve on the MML board. We attend fall conferences. We attend summer conferences. In those, you get an opportunity. We're both members of the Maryland Mayors Association. So in each of those opportunities, you get a chance to connect with your colleagues from across the state, build those relationships, and certainly the ones in your own region. It offers a real opportunity to information share and assist one another. There's always something to be learned.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you make, because Paul Fry, who's the head of the Washington County Chamber of Commerce, was a longtime businessman with the Plamondons at Roy Rogers for 20 years. Rick Weldon and Paul Fry talk to each other a lot. How closely do you work with the local chambers, whether it be the Frederick Chamber, the Washington County Chamber, to network and build businesses in the community?
I'm heading to a lunch today that's being sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. So they do a lot of great events in the community. We are one of the partners in trust with them in mm-hmm. terms of their organization. Our economic development, the county's economic development, the Downtown Frederick Partnership, tourism, and the Chamber of Commerce meet on a weekly basis to exchange information and coordinate activities and make sure that everybody's on the same page, that we're looking at the same opportunities together, that we're setting the same goals for what we want to accomplish as a community together. That collaboration that exists in Frederick County, and we've had an opportunity to talk about that in the state and regionally, other places don't believe that it's real because they don't have it. And so they don't understand how it's possible that you can have all of these groups that would seem to be in competition with one another mm-hmm. sitting down regularly, having conversations about what matters to the community and what you want to achieve as a community. But it really is real. We joke about this a lot, but we call it the secret sauce. It's one of the reasons why I think Frederick County is as successful as it is.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these few messages.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Maybe you're not sure how you'll make rent, or you lost your job. When you don't know where to turn, let 211 be your guiding light. Our guides are ready to connect you with the help you need.
211, how can I help you?
Call or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help. A message from United Way and the Ad Council.
Free Talk in the Afternoon.
I'm just volunteering for the afternoon. I'm trying to pay back the government.
930 WFMD.
Now, if you're ready, we will begin.
Let's go!
Now, Mid-Maryland Live.
With Tim and Frank.
On 930 WFMD.
One, two, three, four.
Last election on this, overwhelming support for the firefighters and binding arbitration. So do we want to reverse that?
Yeah, do we want to negate what the voters said? 73% of the voters voted for question D on the last election. Again, gamesmanship, politicking. I mean, the union's very good at this. They sold it to the voters as though, you know, save our firemen, or, you know, support your firemen. You need to vote for this. This is something we need, which we didn't need. Our firemen are taken very well care of, and we've never not taking care of them. But it was a kind of a, to me, as a backdoor way of getting binding arbitration, not mediation, binding arbitration. And if you are familiar with binding arbitration, you actually hire an arbitrator. And they're not local, and they have no skin in the game. And they come in, and the arbitrator listens to the both sides in the disagreement and makes a decision. And the decision under binding arbitration must stand. So the county said, well, that's fine, but we're not going to lose control, so we're going to say, yeah, that's fine, but the county controls the purse strings, and we're not going to let that happen. So in order to, you know, codify that, that's the reason for the charter amendment. Now, the union has attempted to go to court on this to enforce the fact that the voters under referendum voted for binding arbitration to give the union, firefighters union, the right to binding arbitration. But the courts have not been real friendly thus far to the unions in this matter. Then there was this application that came forward. I call it an application. It's just a point of view came forward that the county government, with our county exec leading the charge, are using funds to fight this, in the media, and to spend money to get the county's position out in front of the voters, so they know this is not being supported by at least the county exec. The union didn't like that because that they felt was misuse of county funds. Yet in Maryland, there is a court case that says, no, the county can do that if it's in the best interest of the county. They have a right to spend monies. It's not an illegal use of funds so far. The firemen union has then threatened, well, maybe we'll just sue you for that. So what's going to happen? Well, let me give you my perspective. Good, Tim, do it. It's much to do about nothing. Really, it's much to do about nothing. I hope there's not one firefighter that is a career firefighter that pays union dues that wants to bankrupt this county. Not one. They need their jobs. They need their careers. But they have been also, the firemen have been sold a bill of goods. And as such, the union is running, carrying the water, if you will. I think when we would interview firemen, which I have, and get their opinions, would they like more money? Absolutely. Were they, more benefits? Absolutely. But there comes a point where if you can't afford it, if the county can't afford it, then what do you do? Well, you stay and work your job and enjoy your career and retire after 20 years, or you go somewhere else. And I don't want anybody to go somewhere else, but if this isn't good enough for you and we can't give you what you want, you have but two choices, and that's what I want to hear more about.
Live from Grove Hill, the Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express, featuring Diana Gibson, Traffic, and many others too numerous to mention. Now your hosts, Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick.
And a hearty good morning, 8:13 at WFMD. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick. And oh, Ryan, if this, you can tell we're such a litigious society.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy in California who is suing a North Carolina-based T.W. Garner food company over the fact that Texas Pete hot sauce isn't made and isn't from Texas. And this guy is saying, had I known when he bought the $3 bottle of hot sauce that it wasn't made in Texas, he probably wouldn't have bought it.
But is that false advertising?
No.
Why not?
Because it never says Texas made. It just says Texas Pete.
Okay.
You can be Frederick Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
It's your nickname. It's a nickname. It's not the sauce. It's not where it's from. It's just Texas Pete. He says that he said it's by representing the band. It looks like it's got a Lone Star, which is, you know.
That about wraps it up for Weekend Free Talk Express. We hope you enjoyed some of the interviews brought back from this past week's broadcast on Free Talk WFMD. Join us again next time. Until then, I'm Bob Dacey.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com, a service of Holtzapfel Heating and Air Conditioning.